الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We're indeed fortunate to welcome our noble guest, Sheikh Abdul Salam Bassiouni, حفظه الله تعالى, originate from Sharqiyah in Egypt. Sheikh has been here approximately up to 30 years, especially in the field of da'wah, doing sterling work in the field of da'wah towards non-Muslims. Sheikh will be enlightening us with his very valuable advices. We appreciate this opportunity. فنقول من أعماق قلوبنا ونرحب بالكلمات المخلصة الطيبة ضيفنا المبجل الكريم الشيخ عبد السلام بسيوني فنقول أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا إن شاء الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حقيقة مثلي ليس له الحق أن يقف ويتحدث أمام كبار العلماء هنا, ولكن هذا من تواضعهم. مولانا برهان, مولانا حتراني وغيرهم من العلماء الموجودين هم أولى بالحديث مني, ولكن هذا من تواضعهم وأخلاقهم العالية أن يعطونا الفرصة لإخوانهم ليشاركون معهم.
After praising Allah عز وجل and salutations upon our beloved Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, Sheikh says in his humble words that I am not worthy of speaking in the company of our seniors, as Mona Iqbal Sahib and others, It's not right for me to speak in their company, but this is from their humility and their kind-heartedness that they give us this opportunity to be part and parcel of whatever good is transpiring.
أيها الإخوة الكرام، نحن اليوم نجلس هنا بعد صلاة الجمعة قران، لعقد قران للزواج. ومعنى كلمة زواج في الإسلام شيء عظيم وشيء كبير.
Allah, today after the Jum'ah Salah, and one of the purposes for which Sheikh has come is that there will be a nikah taking place. It is indeed the uniting of spouses, and nikah has a very, very great meaning and emphasis in our deen of Islam, that nikah will be taking place after the Salatul Jum'ah. Some aspects of nikah about Sheikh, which Sheikh was telling us about. So it is a specific means of uniting between two people. It has great importance in our deen of Islam.
النكاح في الإسلام عقد مغلظ عقد كبير عند الله وعند رسوله، لأن بالنكاح بعقد النكاح يفترق الزنا عن الحلال مثل الليل والنهار. نعم.
Nikah is an agreement between two people in the name of Allah Ta'ala, the manner displayed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is a huge action, for it is the clear distinction, the distinguishing line between a halal relationship within nikah and that which is severely abhorred, zina. The differentiating factor between the two and that which distinguishes one from the other is the very means of nikah itself.
يأتي أحد الناس من الملحدين، مسلم ولكن مثل المرتد، يأتي لأحد المشايخ يسأله، يقول: ما دليل وحدانية الله؟ ما الدليل على ذلك من القرآن؟ فقال له: أعطيك مثالا واحدا، ألا وهو عقد النكاح الذي عقد أبوك على أمك بالنكاح، فهذا دليل على وحدانية الله وأن هذا من القرآن الكريم.
A person who though may have been a born Muslim but had deviated ideologies that effectively takes a person away from Islam is an apostate, though he perceives himself to be a Muslim because of wrong ideologies and objections and reservations pertaining to the essentials of Islam. So he once comes to one of the ulama, the mashayikh, and he lodges an objection as to what is your proof of the fact that there is the existence of Allah Ta'ala? What proof is there that there is Allah Azza wa Jal? He says, you yourself are the proof of it in the fact that your father and mother have gotten together in the means of this very institution that is being discussed, and you are the product and the result of it. So you yourself, I pointed to the existence of Allah Ta'ala, for this has happened within the injunction of Allah Azza wa Jal.
وَيَأْتِي بِذَلِكَ نَعْرِفْ كَمَا تَسْمَعُونَ مُنْذُ أَيَّامٍ قَلِيلًا قَرَأْتُ أَنَّ إِحْدَى الْوَزِيرَةٌ مِنَ الْوِزَرَاءِ في دول أوروبا لها علاقة مع ثمانية رجال وقد حملت، حتى الآن لا تعرف من هو أبو هذا الجنين الذي في بطنها.
To show the purity and the perfection of the injunctions of Islam and amongst them, this great institution and this means of nikah, in recent days you may have read in the media a female minister from amongst the European countries. It's been found out that she had been in a relation with eight different males at one and the same time. She had conceived up. There is no guarantee as to who is the father of the child. Up to now, there is no guarantee as to who is the father of the child. And therefore, this institution and this great means of nikah, Allah's divand, amongst its many, many other benefits, this is one of them.
إِذَنْ نَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَعَلَى نِعْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ نِعْمَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ الَّتِي تَجْعَلُ الْسَابَ صَحِيحَةً كل طفل يخرج يكون موما له أب، وهذه من نعم الله علينا عدم اختلاط الأنساب بيننا.
So we show gratitude, we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for this great boon and favor of Islam, that by its means and its purity of injunctions, for example in nikah, through the blessings of nikah, a person is very easily able to ascertain who is one's father, what is my genealogy, where does my family tree go towards. And one of the blessings of this institution of nikah is that there is not an intermingling of the genealogy, there is not an intermingling of the family trees of people. It is very clearly known who is my father, my grandfather, going up all the way, protection of this extremely important institution.
يأتي أحد الناس واحد brother جاء إلى مولانا أقول له مولانا عظني كيف أربي ابني فقال له مولانا كم عمر ابنك قال 6 أشهر قال أنت متأخر يوليت أنت متأخر لماذا مولانا قال عليك أن تبحث أولا قبل أن تتزوج ممن تتزوج.
A person once comes to the alim and he says, "Oh Maulana, I need your advice." He says, "Go ahead, what advice do you want?" So he says, "Guide me as to how I can nurture and rear my child in the teachings of Islam. Give me some specific directives." The alim asks him that, "How old is your child?" He says, 6 months old. So he says, "Sorry, you are too late." He's just 6 months and he's saying, "You are too late." He says, "The nurturing of your child actually begins when you choose your spouse. One has to choose very carefully in searching for a spouse, because that will play a massive role in the nurturing, the upbringing of the child, the importance once again of nikah angle, especially choosing a partner who would be appropriate in the nurturing, in the tarbiyah of our children."
ولذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لمن يرغب في النكاح تزوج الولود الودود, هذه واحدة. وأيضا تنكح المرأة لأربع, لجمالها ولحسبها ونسبها ولمالها, ولدينها, فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك. أولا أن تبحث عن المرأة الصالحة التي إذا نظرت إليها أسرتك, وإذا غبت عنها حفظتك, وإذا أمرتها أطاعتك.
So our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, therefore in this regard, had given specific directives as to the criteria in choosing a spouse. On one hand, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when you have to marry, then look for a girl, a woman who will have two qualities, who will show a lot of affection and love towards you, and secondly, who will be able to bear you children. So one who is loving and compassionate to you, and one who is able to children. If Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that generally people make the criteria in search of a woman for various reasons. Some do it because of her and the status of wealth. Others do it because of her status in the community. Some would do it because of her beauty, physical. And a fourth category of people would make their criteria deen and piety. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says of these four options, then take it that deen is the best criteria to base upon which you choose a partner in marriage. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam strongly encourages that of these four, then choose that one who will be the best as far as deen is concerned. In that way, you will have an abundance of goodness in your life to come in the future. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gives other qualities of a spouse who should be desired in marriage, who is of such nature, character, mannerisms, that when you look at her, it brings joy to the heart. When you are absent from her, she guards and protects her chastity, your wealth, etc. in her absence. And whenever he encourages and commands towards actions of pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, then without hesitation, there is mutual cooperation, there is obedience in these regards.
And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul fil hadith sharif, إذا جاءكم من ترضون دينه فزوجوه إلا تفعلوا فيكن فساد في الأرض, فساد في الأرض. شيء عجيب, إذا لم نرى أن الرجل الذي يأتي لابنتي أن يزوجه لسبب أنه فقير أو غريب أو غير ذلك أو ليس من أسرة كبيرة, إذن هذا فساد عريض في هذه الحياة.
الدين والخلق.
نعم.
Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encourages that if a person comes and proposes for your daughter in marriage, and that person has the essential criteria of good deen, that is a good level of pure deen in that person, then do not hesitate in going ahead and accepting such proposals. For if you will not accept and you will reject such proposals, it would lead to anarchy on earth. It would lead to a huge amount of anarchy, of immodesty that will naturally flow when nikahs are not taking place.
يعني لماذا أنا أقول هذا الكلام؟ بعض الناس حينما يأتي الزوج أول شيء يسأل ما عملك؟ كم معك من المال؟ أي سيارة عندك؟ أنا اتصلت مع أحد الأخوة كان يحدثني ويقول أريد أن إن شاء الله بنتي تتزوج في يناير. كنت ما شاء الله كيف حال الزوج؟ فأول شيء قال لي ما شاء الله عنده فكتري. أول شيء قال عنده فكتري، عنده أرض ما شاء الله فارم، عنده فارم وعنده ما شاء الله فكتري كبير. ما قال لي أنه حافظ القرآن، ما قال لي ما شاء الله يحافظ على صلوات الجماعة وغير ذلك. أصبح همنا وعقلنا في التراب، في الدنيا التي نعيش فيها، وليس للآخرة التي نريدها ونبحث من أجلها.
Sheikh says, I emphasize this point of making your criteria in marriage that of deen. And the reason I say this is that many a times a person may come and show an interest, for example, in our daughter or some relative. The first thing we ask that person, that what is your job, what is your profession? We may go further and say, how much money do you have? What property do you have? Inna lillah. Do we ever get ourselves to ask that person and the criteria of deen? She says, recently an acquaintance, a friend, phoned me and gave me the glad tidings that his daughter will be marrying soon. But with that, he says, when I asked, the first thing is, I asked him, how is the boy? Tell me about the boy, your prospective son-in-law. The person says, mashallah, he owns a factory. Mashallah, he owns a farm, a piece of land, and he sufficed on that. Sheikh says, where is our thinking gone to? What about the fact of saying first and foremost that the person is a hafiz of the Quran Kareem? The level of deen of this person is at such a level, he is punctual in the performance of his 5 daily salah in the masjid. Those are the essential criteria that will guarantee and ensure eternal happiness.
ولذلك هذا حال أمتنا الآن. نحن لا نبالي بالتقي النقي صاحب الخلق. ولذلك أحوالنا الآن نبكي عليها. 1,700,000,000 مسلم ليس لنا قائد حتى الآن. لماذا؟ لأننا لا نربي أبناءنا على هذا الدين كما ربى رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And we say that this is probably also one of the primest of the difficulties the Ummah finds itself, despite our huge numbers, the fact that we are huge in numbers, many, many parts of the world. But these qualities, these essentials of deen, of character, of the love of Allah and the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which should be the basis on which we are nurturing our children, there is a void, there is an absence of those, and therefore we find ourselves as the ummah and the difficulties that we find in various parts of the world. So absolutely important that we nurture and rear our children on deen. Let us give importance to the importance, the aspects of deen, especially the tarbiyah of children, the importance of salah, the importance of preparation for akhirah, which is the real life, and that is the means of true and inner happiness that will guarantee it in this dunya as well as in the akhirah.
كم عدد المسلمين الآن؟
What is the number of Muslims in the world at present?
1,700,000,000 لكن نتعطش أن نرى قائدا مسلما يأخذ بيد المسلمين.
1.7 billion, but yet we are literally thirsty, we are desperate to find those who would lead the ummah towards goodness, lead the ummah out of the oppression, out of difficulties that it is suffering.
أليس هذا يجعلنا أن نبكي دما بدل أن نبكي دموعا؟ أليس كذلك؟
Should we not be shedding tears on this fact?
انظر إلى عمر رضي الله عنه. سيدنا عمر. كلكم تعرفون سيدنا عمر. سيدنا عمر يمشي في الليل في الشارع ليتفقد حال الرعية، يسمع امرأة تتخاصم مع ابنتها ابنتها تقول، أمها تقول: ضعي ماء على اللبن حتى يكون كثير ونجد مالا كثيرا. قالت: يا أمه، أمير المؤمنين من الغش؟ قالت: أين أمير المؤمنين في الليل؟ فقالت لها: يا أمه، إن الله الذي في الليل يرانا كما يرانا في النهار. عمر رضي الله عنه يسمع هذا الحوار بينهما، ماذا فعل عمر؟
Let us take example from the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. We all know Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala and his many accolades and his outstanding virtues. One occasion when Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, Amirul Mu'mineen, then he is going around in the dark hours of Medina Munawwara to see the condition of the Ummah, to see the condition of those who have been placed in his responsibility. And he passes by a house where he hears a conversation between mother and daughter. They used to sell, as a means of income, they used to sell milk. So he hears the mother saying to the daughter that add some water into the milk so that the quantity becomes more, we can sell more and thereby earn more by its means. The daughter reminds her mother, did Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, not prohibit us from such acts of deception? So the mother says, where is Amirul Mu'mineen? He cannot see us at this moment. The daughter responds to the mother, but what about the Rabb, the nourisher, the sustainer, the Allah of Umar radiallahu an, who can see everything, whether it is night, whether it is day, nothing is concealed from him. Should we not have the fear of that Allahu Azza wa Jal? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala listens to this conversation. He's taken aback, he's astonished. But what does he do thereafter?
ماذا حدث؟ في الصباح جمع أولاده. قال لهم: من يتزوج بنت بائعة اللبن؟ قال لهم هذا: فإن لم تتزوجوها فسأتزوجها أنا بنفسي.
The next morning, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala gathers his sons and immediately puts forward to them that two of you will have the honor of marrying the daughter of that lady who sells milk. The two of you will take this honor of marrying the daughter of that lady who sells this milk. And then he says to them that if none of you, then possibly I may marry her myself.
فكانت جدة عمر بن عبد العزيز رضي الله عنه خامس الخلفاء للمسلمين.
So one of the sons accepts this proposition from Sayyidina Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه. One of the sons goes on and marries that woman, and the purity of actions that emanate from such a union based on piety, this woman later on becomes the grandmother. Who is her grandson? Her grandson is the famous Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah ta'ala, known as the second Umar for the justice, the fairness, and the goodness with which he had led the Ummah.
لم يستحي أن يكون أمير المؤمنين فاضلاً لهذه بائعة اللبن.
أمير المؤمنين, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, did not consider it beyond his dignity that his son married to a woman who was a milk seller.
الوقت يعني انتهى.
We thank our respected Chef for his most valuable words. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to translate into practice, inshallah. ونقول من جذور القلوب لهذه الكلمات المفيدة التي استفدنا منها ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يجزي شيخنا بأفضل الجزاء. Very important, brothers, lessons that we have taken, the importance literally of bringing deen alive in our lives, especially nurturing, rearing our children on deen. Very, very important aspect is that we have this great worry and concern for the well-being of the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assimilated this ummah in our unity like one human body. If one part of the body suffers some difficulty, some pain, the entire body would have to share in that at the minimum in two ways, that if fever comes about because of it, the entire body is afflicted with that fever. If the pain is so severe that one cannot sleep, then the entire body stays awake in sharing in the pain of the ummah. So right at this moment, many, many places, Idlib in the city of Syria, great oppression being meted out to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And in the last few weeks, we know that in India, prior to that, the pressure that was put on Kashmir, the bill that has come about that could probably deprive Muslims who have been living for centuries of citizenship, the objection to such an oppressive bill, and then mashallah, not just by Muslims, but many others who are well wishes for the rights of people there. We see the oppression that is taking place on those who are objecting, who are protesting. So fervent dua from the bottom of our hearts for the bleeding ummah in many parts of the world, especially in recent times in India, in Syria, in Palestine, in many other parts of the world. Allahu Azza wa Jal, remove that difficulty, our responsibility to turn to Allah Ta'ala. Allah has given us this great facility of dua, to access it, to use it as fervently as possible. Sadaqah, istighfar in abundance, and however means to assist those in difficulties within the permissible means, then we do so inshallah Ta'ala.